Good morning, Symphony Church. We are closing out this week with our classic Friday Psalms, and today we'll be going through Psalm 11, and I'll read that for us. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Amen. So today we're looking at a Psalm of David, and I thought that this was such a fitting passage to be in right after we closed out the book of Malachi. If you've been following along with us, I think you also see the contrast between the heart of King David and the hearts of the Israelites at the time of Malachi. Whereas the Israelites turned their backs on the Lord and doubted that he was protecting them and watching over them, King David has full confidence that he is serving a faithful, powerful God. This led King David to approach similar doubts and troubles as the Israelites, but with a vastly different mindset. As many of you might know, I spent a few years interning for Symphony during my college days, and because of that, a lot of brothers and sisters at our church actually referred to me as Intern Dan, lovingly, I hope. But before I was Intern Dan, actually back when I was still getting to know Symphony, I spent some time as an office admin at a consulting company in downtown Boston. There are so many stories that I could share during my time at that job, but one of the most significant things about my experience was that halfway through, I was reassigned to be under a different manager. I had a pretty great relationship with my original manager. He and I would grab lunch often, and I looked up to him as a professional mentor figure. But this new manager really, really disliked me. Looking back, I'll admit that there were a lot of things that I could have done better, but for the most part, I think that she just plain didn't like me as a person. And because of that, she made my life incredibly difficult while I was at work. I'd always receive negative feedback, I'd be given really tedious tasks, and I was constantly criticized in front of my team members. Because of this, for most of my time at this company, my only goal was to keep my head down, do my job, and try to get reprimanded as little as possible. It was a pretty sad existence. But alas, after months of toughing it out, my last week drew near. And when I got into the office on that Monday, one of the most joyful sights awaited me. On my desk was a note from my manager telling me that she would be taking the week off and that I would be reporting to my original manager for the rest of my employment. I think my original manager had an idea of what was going on, because he sat me down that morning and told me, "Dan, your goal for the rest of this week is to enjoy your time here. Grab lunch with your team members, say bye to people around the office, and enjoy all of our conference rooms and commissaries." And long story short, I can assure you that that last week was my favorite week at that job. You see, the care of my original manager allowed me to approach my job with a completely different goal than before. Whereas I was once just focused on being as small as possible and timidly going through my day, now I could be free and I had the goal of just enjoying my time. In our passage, David knows that he is cared for by God. He sees refuge in the Lord, and it's a refuge that David is glad to take. After all, it wasn't harsh managers or performance reviews that David was facing. He was up against mighty armies and bloodthirsty rulers. When you're up against such formidable forces, traditional wisdom would lead us to naturally consider doing what David kind of alludes to, fleeing like a bird to your mountain, away from the bows and the arrows of the wicked. But David doesn't follow this advice. Instead, he looks to the Lord for protection from his enemies. He has faith that God will deliver him, will shield him from the arrows, and keep strong his foundations. And David is able to have this confidence because of two things that he knows to be true about God. First, that he is watching. Verse 4 says that the Lord's eyes see from his throne in heaven. Two, that he loves the righteous. Verse 7 says that the Lord is righteous and he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. So one, God is watching, and two, God loves the righteous. And it's good that he's both, right? A God that's watching but doesn't love the righteous might not feel compelled to come to the aid of the righteous. And a God that loves the righteous but isn't watching, well, he might miss some of the important moments. But praise God that he is both, amen? Knowing that God is watching and that God loves the righteous, David cannot just be comforted, but be confident as he faces opposition and worry. It's this care and this protection from God that allows David to approach his troubles with a completely different mindset, one of triumph and boldness. I think this is the kind of faith that Jesus wanted from Peter in Matthew 14. You know, Peter kind of starts well, and he's able to miraculously walk on water towards Jesus when Jesus calls to him from outside the boat. But Peter allows his worldly mindset to take over. You know, what about the wind? What about the waves? If Peter had full faith that Jesus was watching carefully and that he would never let harm come to the one he loves, then he would have boldly stepped out onto the water with full confidence that Jesus, his refuge, would protect him. As we go about our day today, we can be like David or we can be like Peter. We can put our faith in Jesus, knowing that he will be looking out for us as we do his will and that he'll be lovingly caring for us. Or we can have a half-hearted faith, letting the voices of the world drown out our confidence in Christ's refuge. Maybe you're caught up by the fact that our passage says that the Lord loves the righteous. You might ask, how can I possibly take refuge in the Lord when I'm anything but righteous? But remember the gift of grace that has made us righteous. Although we were once sinners, we're now reconciled to God and are his treasured possession. Christ has made us righteous. I hope for all of us that we set our goal to be one of faith today. Let me ask you this. If you were assured that all your efforts today to follow Jesus would succeed, what would you do? If you knew with full confidence that God would be with you and be protecting you and be knocking aside every opposition or enemy, how boldly would you live your life for him? I think David, in his heart, knew that this wasn't hypothetical, but it was a reality. And it can be a reality for us as well. Let's pray. Lord, help us to have full confidence, to have full faith that you are a God who is watching, that you are a God who loves us. Lord, help us to not be like the Israelites in the time of Malachi, who were so caught up in what was in front of them that they could see with their eyes, that they said, our God isn't watching, our God doesn't care, our God won't protect us. Lord, instead, may this confidence that we have allow us to live our lives boldly, to be like King David as he faced off against armies and against enemies. Lord, to be more so than Peter, who failed halfway through stepping out onto the water. I pray that we can follow you just with full boldness, Lord. Help us to translate that into every area of our lives. Lord, be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.